Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air. Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, Julia Fellow, and in for John McCure, it's Telly Hughes.
Telly, so glad you're with us. John is on, you know what? He's visiting his grandbaby right now. Oh my goodness. And Adam Roberts joins us. Have you seen the photos?
I have not yet, but I heard you texting back and forth with him earlier today, and he sounds extremely excited.
Oh, he's so happy. So he's going to be joining us back. He'll be back in studio on Thursday. But for right now, we want to talk about who you were on a panel talking to Procell. He's with the Office of Community Wellness and Safety and the skepticism of that department being in our city.
So, yeah, I was speaking with his name's Adam Procell, fellow Adam, and I did make that remark at the start of the Milwaukee Press Club panel that I was on yesterday with several other members of our area media. And if you know the name Adam Procell lately, it's because in August, as you alluded to, he was appointed as director of the Office of Community Wellness and Safety, which, yes, is a mouthful. It used to be the Office of Violence Prevention. But there was a lot of skepticism over why name an office something that's hard to actually do, which is fully prevent violence from happening. So we had the change, yada, yada, yada. So if you've heard Procell's name in the headlines for that post, it's been largely for one of two reasons. One, the fact that the man has a criminal background, convicted of murder in 1995. And the second thing is how the selection process played out. Procell, not one of the three finalists for the position. And that drew the ire of several members of Milwaukee's Common Council. So, as we now are in budget season and awaiting the mayor approving his budget, one of the amendments that has been proposed of the 56 would make the office a city department, which seems like just changing office of to department of. But it is more than that, because that would subject appointments to Common Council approval. And Procell talked a bit about that yesterday.
They don't know if I'm grandfathered in, or will I have to be confirmed by the Common Council. So now they would get their chance to, if they don't like me, if they don't like what I've done, in a couple of weeks I theoretically couldn't have a job.
A lot of the conversation was on the checks and balances of wanting to have more say. I mean, they're politicians. They want to have some power, you understand. And I questioned him about working with Common Council members because, as the Journal Sentinel had reported around the time he was appointed, Alderman Bob Bauman, who we've mentioned plenty on the show, he was quoted as saying he didn't even know who Procell was and wanted to see his resume.
Two-part question. One, have you taken Alderman Bauman out to lunch yet? And then as a follow-up, how will you handle that gridlock that can come with working through channels like the Common Council to put in action things that you want to see done?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. And I would so there was an underestimation of how sort of tense it was after the mayor appointed me. As soon as I got my email account, I emailed every single alder and introduced myself and asked to meet with them individually, and have not met with Bauman yet, but I did email him to ask, but I've met with a fair number. It is my job to find a way to effectively communicate with them and address concerns that they have and get grilled at budget hearings, which I have, and which is a very, that's tough to get grilled, especially when you don't necessarily know what your budget is because you didn't write your budget.
So if you take nothing else from that, it's that the lunch date is TBD with the alderman.
I'm sure it is.
Adam, what's coming up in the next hour when you join us at 5:08? Because you did a wide-ranging amount of questions with a new head of the Office of Community Wellness and Safety, and he was convicted. He's a murderer. He was convicted of murder as a teenager and served his time.
He did. And so a lot of Procell's involvement in his time since he was in the Supermax has been on reintegration. And he has said over and over again, I understand the mind of someone who's taken someone's life, because I have. And he's been very open about that. It's been a part of his life ever since. So coming up at 5:08, I asked him point blank, take me inside the mind of someone who makes that conscious decision, and how can that be turned around to be used as a tool for doing good? We'll talk more about that coming up next hour.
WTMJ's Adam Roberts, thank you.
You bet.
4:14 on WTMJ. Debbie gets you home next.
From sidelines to the locker room, This is unlike anything else that's ever happened in franchise history. Now, I know what I'm saying when I say that.
And everything in between.
How many times are you going to come to my press conference late? We got a rule in the team meeting. You don't interrupt the meeting. Sit your butt outside.
No one covers the team like Jason Wilde.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, but I don't do enough politics.
It's time to get caught up on the green and gold on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
Jason Wilde joins the program as he's, of course, our green and gold insider. Jason, you know, we would love to, you know, exchange pleasantries and all that good stuff. But bottom line is, I'm sure every Packer is asking, what in the world was that last night?
Yeah, it wasn't pretty, that's for sure. I mean, I'm happy to sit back and just listen to the dulcet tones of Kelly's voice. But instead,
I know.
We do have
a lot to break
down. Are
you jealous of his pipes?
I've always been. I've known Telly, how long have we known each other? Long time.
Long time.
I've always been jealous of him. And he's better looking than me. It's a whole thing. I don't hold it against him.
Oh, hang on.
It's all good. And
okay, Telly, yeah. Tell the story about when you got your voice and when you would call your girlfriends.
God. Julia loves that story. Julia, we got to talk Packers.
Okay, do you want to hear the story?
Okay, I'll tell it. I'll tell it because if I'm not, she will. So, Jason, I tell people, like, this voice hasn't always been the greatest attribute because when it came, I was around 11, 12 years old. And so imagine having this voice as a 12-year-old and you want, you know, you call a young lady that you might be interested in your classroom and you call their house and their dad answers the phone and you got to convince them that you're 12. So I had my fair share of challenges and they'll be like, so how old are you? And like, why are you calling my daughter? Like, I swear, sir, she's in my algebra class. So
now look at you now.
Yeah.
Look at you now. Listen, Jason, I basically don't want to talk about the Packers, you know, but I got this, Jason.
I understand.
Can I play this about Matt LaFleur, what he was talking about with his coaching? I thought this was kind of eye-opening.
Sure.
Okay, let's listen to this.
You got to always be pushing, and that's just my mindset. So, and that will be my mindset until they tell me not to coach anymore.
Okay. What do you... At the end, he said that'll be my mindset until they tell me not to coach anymore.
So, a couple things. So, first of all, when I was calling... first of all, I wasn't calling girls' house when I was 12, but if I was, it would have sounded like this. Hello, Mr. Fellow. I'm calling to talk to Julia. Secondly, that was in response to a question about whether he feels like he's coaching for his job the last 8 games, which I'm not there yet. Other people might be. But there are some breadcrumbs that you have to look at, right? He's not in the final year of his contract. Next year is the final year of his contract. But when we met with new team president Ed Policy toward the end of training camp, or toward the beginning of training camp, I guess it was, he said he doesn't want lame ducks in the GM or head coaching role. So he either wants them to earn extensions or he wants to get somebody else. So he doesn't want them in the last year of their contracts. And both Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur are going into their final years of their contracts. Now, what I expect is this team to still make the playoffs. I don't expect them to win the division the way they're playing right now. They will play on the road the first round. Maybe they win that game. Maybe they don't. They lose in the second round most likely. And what they probably do is extend Goody and LaFleur 1 year and add 1 year onto their contracts, but don't give them a big, like, 5-year extension because Ed Policy is going to want to see more. But again, I think we're a little prisoner of the moment. I mean, obviously, things have not gone well in the last 8 days, losing at home to the Panthers and then losing last night to, by the way, the defending Super Bowl champs, whose offense also didn't do a whole heck of a lot against the Packers defense. So a little knee-jerky,
But I understand fans' concerns, of course.
Yeah, and the way that answer came off, you got to think about it. I don't even – can you recall a time where Matt LaFleur's coaching seat was even warm, Jason? I mean, that's not something
nope.
that – yeah, so, I mean, this is all relatively new, and you still have 8 games to play, and there's a lot that can happen in 8 games, and a lot of people have earned extensions in 8 games. They've earned extensions in 4 games. So I feel you on that. It's not really a whole lot to, you know, be up in arms about, but something that you could be a lot more concerned about in the interim is the fact that the Packers have only scored 20 points in the last 8 quarters.
Right. And that, look, Matt LaFleur is not only the head coach, but he's the offensive play caller. It's his offense. So the criticism, he understands. He certainly isn't surprised by the criticism. But yeah, they've got to be better offensively, and I would argue that it starts up front. It always does with the offensive line. And the offensive line, when the Packers have had really good offenses, yes, they had Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre at quarterback, but they also protected them very well, and they ran the ball effectively. And right now they're not doing either one of those things. They're struggling to get Josh Jacobs going. Josh Jacobs is clearly frustrated. He's tired of getting hit as soon as he gets handed the ball. You saw the play last night where the Eagles are shouting out the play that's about to be run on 4th down, and then they throw him for a 4-yard loss and take the ball away from him and get a fumble. Like, there's a lot of issues there. Love was pressured on nearly half of his dropbacks. That's not good either. And now they've lost Elgton Jenkins, their starting center, for at least 4 games and probably a few more with a fracture in his lower left leg. So they go to the Giants this week, a team that just fired their head coach. So they have got to get things right because they have a defense that is playing at a championship level, mm-hmm. and they have an offense that most definitely is not.
He is Jason Wilde, Wilde and Tausch, from 9 to noon. And also, you can read all of his articles. Go to channel3000.com. Jason, we'll talk to you on Friday.
Take care and be good, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man. Green and Gold, is he not the funniest?
So man, funny. Love Jason. Man.
I know. Green and Gold Insiders is sponsored by Window Nation. Okay, I had to have Miley Cyrus's Party in the USA song. Do you? Me too. Do you know who you just heard? That's the owner's daughter, Heartless.
Yes. Loving that song.
That's so sweet. So the owner of Carbless is here. He's Adam Craner, and his beautiful wife and 2 children are here. That's so cute. What do you think about your daughter saying that?
That's awesome. It's often requested on the dad request line.
It's my most requested once I have one of your drinks. How did you come up with that? Like, so low calorie, and who thought of that?
Yeah.
Was it your wife and you? And
it's interesting. Honestly, we tried seltzer. Oh gosh, it was Memorial Day of 2018. We tried seltzer because we were doing keto, and you know, you see this like nice fruit flavor on there, and it's like, oh, that looks delicious. And that was the first time I ever tried it. Got a lot of carbonation and no flavor, very underwhelmed. Went home and started mixing some stuff and had a carb-free, sugar-free vodka lemonade, but it was really for self-consumption. I was probably making, you know, a 12 or 13% ABV at the time. And after,
oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, still didn't taste like booze. It was kind of scary. But
oh, my.
Yeah.
And then the rest, as they say, is history.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, when you do something like that, do you really think, like, because I know I make stuff at home and I'm like, man, this is good, but do you think other people are going to like it as much as you? Is that kind of the hesitation when you want to take it outside of your home?
I think that's one of the, I think about often, like, if I created a bourbon, the benefit is that a lot of the consumer base has the same taste profile I do.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is we asked about 300 people, why are you drinking that? Insert the name brand seltzer. And they would say it's low carb, low sugar, low calorie. Oh, do you like the taste? And the best answer we ever got was, eh, it's okay. And now would a restaurant survive on that? Absolutely not. So we were not smart enough to actually sample the liquid, but we thought based on that response, we would have a good business venture.
Nice.
We have the owner of Carbliss here. He's Adam Craner, and he's also a veteran of the Iraq War. Thank you so much for serving our country.
Thank you for today, being worth serving.
Yeah, today is Veterans Day. What does it mean to you?
It's, you know, everybody gets caught up a lot in, I'd say a lot of military people get caught up a lot in the difference between Memorial Day, Veteran Day, or Veterans Day and Armed Forces Day, and people knowing the difference. But I think really it's for me, ultimately, it's a day to reflect and just think about the camaraderie, the group of guys I was over there with, still in contact with a few of them. We've lost a few since. But it's really, we all live pretty fast, busy lifestyles. And it's something that at this point in my lifetime is almost 20 years ago.
Can you believe that?
I'd prefer not to, but that's how old I'm getting.
Me too.
Yeah, it's a time to pause and reflect.
How do you think it helped you become more disciplined or to be this successful?
Disciplined big time. I was a pretty rampant child. I didn't listen much, but
my brother should have gone in the military. I knew it.
100%. Like, it's great for all of that. It as I like to say, it proverbially pulled my head out of my, you know what, about 75-80%. There was a little work to do when I got home, though.
Yeah. And when you do reflect on it, I know there's a lot of things and a lot of experiences that you had to, you know, endure in your time overseas and during your time of deployment. It's also an elite almost fraternity when you guys, it's just your crew and you guys will always have those memories based on each other. So how often do you guys reflect back on some of those things, or is it just kind of, hey, that happened, this is where we are now and we're moving forward? But I mean, do you guys really kind of, you know, reflect on stories?
I would say I tell a quote unquote war story maybe once a year.
Gotcha.
I was just with ESPN and I did talk about a little bit like process that was more general. But if I were to end up, you know, spending 8 hours with somebody I was with, it's probably going to be 80% stories.
Wow.
Gotcha. But mostly not.
Here, I'll give you this perspective. I was just at the Stars and Stripes honor flight and we are at the Vietnam Wall. And it was the first time he had ever been to the wall because the last time he was in Washington, D.C. was in the 60s.
Wow.
So. Yeah. He texted one of his, you know, one of the people that was in his platoon, and he said, I'm at the wall, and, you know, everything's coming back. And he showed me the text that his friend in California texted back, and it said in all caps, brother, and in lower caps, how are you? ? And I said, oh, he knows you. He knows exactly how you're feeling right now. I mean, it runs deep. People, you know, in the military, they bleed red, white, and blue. And thank you so much for sharing your world with me. It's like I'm seeing a famous person, too.
So,
and thanks for always giving back to the community, too. Do you have a tease for what your next flavor will be?
My one tease will be nostalgic.
Oh, okay. I don't know. What does that mean?
Well, it sounds like I want to be a part of it. Can I get it? Is there something I can do to be a part of that?
Is this old fat? Oh, is this like, are we talking about college nostalgic?
You asked for one tease.
Oh, wow. See, and that's when you know that someone's been in the
He's
military.
Good.
They know not to go take the line. Fantastic. He is Carbliss. He's a veteran owner. His name is Adam Craner, and you know Carbliss. You can get it everywhere. Thank you so much for joining us this Veterans Day. It's 444 on WTMJ. I just had a text here from the 414. The person said, I love Carbliss. The only thing I drink now, being pre-diabetic, trying to cut back on calories, keep up with the good work and new flavors. I've tried them all. Love that it's locally made. Nice job. And the man from Plymouth, he says, I'm really proud right here. That was a great interview, wasn't it?
Yes, and I tell you, I wasn't just saying that because he was sitting right in front of me, he meaning Adam Craner, the owner and of Carbliss, but that's really all I drink now. I mean, it's so good, and you don't have to worry about gaining a bunch of weight or putting a bunch of calories in your body and still have something that's flavorful. So I'm a big Carbless fan. I told him that, I'll be your pitch guy.
Local, yeah, exactly. Locally owned and a military veteran. You know, we dedicated the entire first hour of Wisconsin's Afternoon News. We went in-depth on Veterans Day, and we're going to continue it. Right now on the talk and text line is Dr. Zeno Franco, Associate Professor of Emergency Medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin and also Clinical Psychologist at the VA. Dr. Franco, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you know, the first question I think I might want to ask is how is your job or anyone's job at the VA being affected right now by the government shutdown? Is it affecting anything?
So I should say that I'm really here representing the medical college today, but I think it's great for veterans to know that the VA is open and functional, and we're happy to see anybody that needs any type of services.
Fantastic. Thank you for answering that. You know, how do combat experiences for military service, how does it uniquely impact a veteran's mental health?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, I've been working with U.S. military veterans for about 20 years and have seen all different types of situations with vets, from really combat forward to folks that have been kind of at the rear. And there's just a range of different experiences. So I think it's important for us to remember kind of all veterans on Veterans Day, but combat veterans are definitely a unique breed, I think. They come at the world from a different perspective, and they're really trained to encounter all situations and kind of not shrink back from them. And I think one of the toughest things is when it comes to seeking mental health. Veterans that have had that sort of combat forward experience often feel like they're less than, or that it shouldn't be them that's asking for help. Just because of the training and the kind of experiences they've had. Mm-hmm. So that's a big piece of it, is just kind of getting over that I should be able to handle this sense that's kind of baked into the veteran experience.
Dr. Franco, what role does peer support play in a veteran's mental health recovery?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've really been working a lot in mental health peer support, what we sometimes describe as kind of paraprofessional support. And that's really veteran-to-veteran conversations about the experience, what's been happening since they've come back from service, how the reintegration process has been going for the veteran. And, you know, I think I'm a licensed professional, so I like to think that we can do a lot of good things and help out. But there are moments when I really can't reach a veteran because I didn't serve in the military. Even though I've worked with veterans for many, many years, I understand the lingo. I understand kind of military culture, but there are moments when that handshake, one veteran to another, having had that experience in service in the military, sometimes particularly for combat veterans, it can be very difficult to open up to a licensed professional that has never seen combat. And so that peer-to-peer interaction can be key to recovery for some veterans.
Wow. How does the VA in particular support veterans with PTSD or depression or anxiety?
The VA has all types of services. And again, I'm going to emphasize that I'm really here speaking on behalf of the medical college today. I don't want to speak for the VA.
Oh, for sure. That was just
particularly, but just kind of broadly, I think, you know, the VA has all types of services for veterans experiencing different types of problems. It doesn't just have to be PTSD. So sometimes people think the VA is just there for, post-traumatic stress disorder or combat-related issues. And the reality is that the VA is there for all kinds of things, including anxiety and depression. And it's very common for veterans who've come back, even if they haven't experienced combat directly, to have some kind of, if you could think about it this way, sort of a letdown moment when they're coming back out of service during that transition into civilian life. And everything that they've kind of known, especially if they've been in for many years, it's camaraderie, it's a family, it's a way of thinking and doing. And all of a sudden, you're out of that system and you don't have the friends and the support that you had before. It can be a very difficult moment. And we see lots of veterans who have a range of different mental health problems, not just PTSD. And the VA is a great place to get care.
Dr. Franco, are there any innovative programs or technologies being used to support veterans' mental well-being?
Absolutely. So I've been working with a peer mentor program here in Milwaukee for many years called Dry Hooch. They're one of the groups that I think is working in the technology space. They've actually generated an app that tries to provide peer-to-peer support. There are other organizations in Milwaukee also that are at the forefront of a technology space, trying to connect veterans through technology to services. So I think CVI has an app as well. There's just, I think, a lot going on in the space. The VA also has a lot of different apps that are kind of there for veterans to interact with maybe after hours, or if they really don't prefer to come in and be seen, or augments the therapy that they're getting.
Dr. Franco, we only have about 40 seconds left, but I do want to ask you, what message do you want to share with veterans who may be hesitant to seek care or even reach out to help?
Yeah, I think I see so many veterans in all walks of this work, in the community, in the clinic, that have waited to get care for 10 years, for 20 years, to the end of their career, into retirement and beyond. And to a person, men and women, wish they had come in and gotten care sooner, because it would have made their lives, and more, in some ways, more importantly to them, the lives of their family and children and grandchildren, better, because they would have been able to show up in a different way.
Well, I want to thank you for all you're doing for our veterans. He is Dr. Zeno Franco, Associate Professor of Emergency Medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin and Clinical Psychologist at the VA. Thank you so much for joining us this Veterans
Day. My honor. Thank you so much. Take care.
456 on WTMJ.